You're listening to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering.
Final is going to be Boston on top, 116-99. Big win, avoiding elimination.
The Celtics live to fight another day. They finally beat the Miami Heat last night to avoid a sweep in the Eastern Conference Finals. They still have a long way to go, though, to become the first team in history to erase a 0-3 series deficit. It was a surprising night in a confusing series during a confounding playoff run. So this morning, we called ESPN senior writer Howard Bryant to help us make sense of it. And I started by asking Howard if he expected the Celtics win.
No, of course not. I think that this team looked like they were done. It was all the jokes, okay? Cancun on three. One, two, three, Cancun, right? The season's over. It's one of those things where this team had sort of run out of gas and run out of ideas, and it was sort of bizarre because of the way they finished the Philadelphia series. And so this was shocking, to say the least, especially not just the first two games, but then to just completely get blown out and then to suddenly find something. Does this rewrite the entire series? No, it doesn't. Does it change all the issues that the Celtics have? Absolutely not. May it save Joe Mazzulla's job? Absolutely, depending on what happens. And even that may not be the right call. You still got to win four games. Is this the biggest uphill battle in the history of professional sports? Absolutely it is. 150 teams have been down 3-0 in the NBA playoffs, and 150 teams have lost.
Wow.
However, if you're a Bostonian, you know two things. You know that in 2004, all those stats didn't mean anything because of what happened next. And then you also
know the Boston Red Sox breaking
the Boston Red Sox. That's right. But you also know on the other side, if you're a Boston Bruins fan in 2010, they were up 3-0 on the Flyers, and the Flyers won 4 in a row. So we've seen it happen in this town twice, once on the good side and once on the bad side. So it's, you got to play this out. And I'll tell you, Tiziana, to be perfectly honest as well, in watching that game last night, it was very Celtics-like. You're watching this and you're saying, oh, okay. Not only are you saying, okay, well, where has this been the last couple of games? But you're also saying, this team does not know how to do anything the easy way. They don't know how to take the easy route. And I think it's going to be fascinating to see what this team does in the offseason.
Yeah, so let's pick up on that, Howard. You said two things in that big answer there that are the two threads I want to follow. The first was the Celtics suddenly found something. The other thing was, could this possibly save Joe Mazzulla's job? Maybe. So let's do the suddenly found something for a second. I was a little surprised you said that, only in that, did they suddenly find something new, or did they suddenly find that thing that they sometimes seem to find when their backs are against the wall, but then they seem to lose later?
Well, I didn't say they found something new.
Fair enough.
They found, what they did was find the game that they usually play. They found it working. They played more defense. The three shot finally started going in that third quarter. And it also happened at the exact precise time when suddenly the Miami Heat weren't making threes. One team shoots 18 for 45 from three, the Celtics, and the other team shoots 8 for 32. That's a huge difference, and that is the difference in the game. But they also played some defense, and they also played a little harder. They competed, and I think that's the thing that we're all looking for. If you're a journalist or a broadcaster, or if you are a minor or a basketball player, what people want to see is effort. And when you lose game three the way you lost game three, you didn't see the effort. And last night, what you saw was a team that tried to give you a 48-minute effort. And I think people can live with that. Even if you lose really, really tough games, you don't fail to show up to work. And I think after that game three, the attitude was, okay, these guys are ready to pack it in. And last night, they showed some Celtic pride. They showed the pride that people expect from this franchise.
So let's talk about Joe Mazzulla now, the young coach, the first-year coach. There's a whole bunch of questions that I want to ask you there. Let's start with could this have saved his job? I know you know Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe. We've had the two of you on together before. He wrote in the Globe after that game, it was the best game of Mazzulla's tenure. Do you agree with that? Did you see something different in Joe Mazzulla last night?
No, what I saw I saw one thing from Joe Mazzulla that I did like, and that was the thing that has been bothering him all season, which is, are you using your timeouts wisely? Are you using them not just you know, are you using them to stop momentum at the right times? Are you managing the flow and the momentum of the game? And let's face it, Tiziano, I've been on the show with you a couple times this year when we've talked about the Celtics, and I am of two minds. When I think about Joe Mazzulla, the first thing I think about is here's a guy who's being treated extremely unfairly. And when I say unfairly, I mean he's a 34-year-old coach who is in a job that is way beyond him in terms of his experience level that he was never supposed to have. So it's kind of hard to blame a guy who has a job that he wasn't supposed to be in. And he's on the second bench. So when you watch the Celtics game, there's a row of coaches. There's the first row of coaches, then there's the second row, which are really the assistant coaches. And he was on the second bench. And so putting him in this super hot cauldron as with the experience level he has is completely unfair to him. And when you think about the experience of this team that's been to the Eastern Conference Finals, that's been to the finals, you have to realize that even Brad Stevens is only in his job, the president of the team, he's only been in his job 2 years. And so the component of the Boston Celtics with the most experience is actually the players.
The team.
So exactly, it's the players. So the players should really be the ones who are guiding everything here because they're the ones who have been through the fires of competition. However, the other piece of it is that now that you have the job, what are you doing with the job? And basketball, the NBA is a player's game. And if the players are going to wave him off like they do, like you know, I went to game two and it was stunning to watch him try to huddle the team together and have them essentially ignore him. It was stunning to see him take Jason Tatum out of the game and for Tatum to sort of dismiss him with a hand wave. This game is a player's game. The contracts are guaranteed. The coaches are the low-hanging fruit. It's not the NFL. Bill Belichick controls your money. He can cut you. There's no guaranteed or there are very few guaranteed contracts in the NFL. So the coach and the organization has a lot more power than they do in the NBA where these contracts are 100% guaranteed for super dollars, $50, $60 million a year. So if your coach isn't listening to you, right or wrong, I'm sorry, if your players aren't listening to your coach, right or wrong, he's not the right person for the job. And so what's going to be really fascinating here is if the Celtics get off of the mat, if they make this amazing run, if they get this to a seventh game or even a sixth game, or never mind, win the damn thing, what do you do with those issues? Does success take those issues off the table? Or do you still go into a season where the players don't really look at this guy as the leader for them? It's going to be fascinating to see what they do. Winning can actually make things even more complicated.
So we're speaking with ESPN senior writer Howard Bryant about the unexpected, I think, win from the Boston Celtics last night. You've set us up so well, Howard. Reacting to last night, setting up the stakes for the next game, it allows us to step off the court for a second, which is what I want to do. Because when you said you were of two minds on Joe Mazzulla, the first one was, this is a guy who was never supposed to be in the job he has. And he wound up there because of the scandal and the crisis with previous coach Ime Udoka, who I've relied on you heavily on air and off air to process and understand what happened with Ime Udoka, who is now
the head coach of the Houston Rockets.
Right there. That's right. After being first suspended and then fired, let go by the Boston Celtics for inappropriate behavior as the coach of the Celtics. And at that point, they made Joe Mazzulla first interim head coach and then final head coach. I'm sure you're aware of ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski talking on Wednesday about this idea that the team never really got over that. I'm going to play a little sound for you.
This team, this locker room, they never got over Ime Udoka's dismissal as head coach. These players did not accept the organization's reasoning for doing it. They thought it was a wild overreaction. There were a lot of people on the outside who thought it was an overreaction. It was an HR matter.
Now, I want to note that since then, actually, some of the players have been asked. For example, Marcus Smart, the Globe reporting today, pushed back on that, said, no, that's not the case. I also want to note that now that Udoka is coaching for another team, there's some relitigation that some people are engaged in. Oh, the Celtics never should have fired him, et cetera. Udoka hasn't even really contested the Celtics' decision or contradicted it, I guess I should say. So soak on that a little bit and give us your reactions, because you've been very clear over the months that this is over, this is done. You didn't like how the Celtics necessarily handled it, but it did seem clear. Where are we in this moment with the Udoka-Mazula thing?
Yeah, I think that the issue with Udoka is not necessarily about whether to or not to fire him. I think the issue was, how do you handle going forward? And I think that the real issue here was, do you make Joe Mazzulla the permanent head coach? I think that whatever happened with Udoka, I don't think we're ever going to really know. I think that everybody is quiet. I think nobody's talking on this to the level where we're actually ever going to get the truth. The Celtics made a decision. I think that what we're seeing here now is a relitigation, because it is very, very clear at this altitude that Mazzulla and the job, you know, it's not working. When you go down 3-0, I always say this, and you'll hear me say it however long we do these shows, devastating losses have devastating consequences. If the Celtics were down 2-1, or if it were a 2-2 series and they lose in six, maybe we're not having this conversation. But you go down 3-0, you go down and lose game five at home to Philadelphia, you have to pull a miracle out to win game six in Philadelphia. You know, when you do those things, now people are really wondering if you're in over your head. And I think the real question is, was it an impulsive decision to give Mazzulla the permanent job, when everybody knows in Boston that this season was going to be determined in terms of success or failure based on the postseason and not the regular season? So why not play it out? There's another school of thought here too, that when Udoka gets fired, then the former leader of the team, the guy who's been given the reins by Danny Ainge, Brad Stevens, should go downstairs and he should have resumed coaching and then used the offseason to figure out what to do.
Because, as you note, he had coached before.
Because he had been the previous head coach. And what that also tells you is that the Celtics, one of the issues that the Celtics have is that they're not listening to the guy, Joe Mazzulla, who is the prodigy of the guy they weren't listening to previously, which is Brad Stevens. So that's the real dynamic. And I think what that does is that elevates Ime Udoka more and more and more, to the point where the attitude may have been, well, maybe it was a hasty decision when you needed to see what Mazzulla and what the players were going to do in the hottest of competition, which is the championship. This is a championship or bust season for everybody. And you've got to have confidence in the person who's at the helm, especially because you've got a huge decision coming up as well in terms of what to do with Jaylen Brown. His contract is coming up, and if you know, he's got one more year in his deal, and if it so turns out that there's a real rift there, and we don't know. I don't know what is going on in that room. But if those decisions are being made based on who's the head coach, then you've got to make a real decision, because you're going to have to max him out at $270 million or whatever it's going to be.
I think it's $295.
Yeah, it is. It's almost $300 million. That's right. So what that super max deal is if he is, you know, if once again, it's a player's league. If he says, hey, if that coach is here, I'm going somewhere else, the players have the leverage.
Yeah. All right. Last question for you, Howard Bryant. Are there any tea leaves for you as to what to expect in Game 5? As God is your witness, do you have any idea what you think is going to happen?
Absolutely. Absolutely not. The Celtics go up 3-1 to Atlanta. Easy first round. Let's get out of here. They lose that game and almost lose the next game. The Celtics go 2-2 in a game they almost won Game 4. They were 20 seconds away from going up 3-1. They come to Boston, lose Game 5, and then need a miracle Game 6. The Celtics are down 3-0. Everybody believes that Miami is going to go to the finals and sweep the Celtics and send this team into offseason turmoil. So what do? They win by 17 in Miami. So coming home, does it make sense that they put it together and get that game and bring it back to Miami? Absolutely. But would it be a surprise? No, because nothing's a surprise with this team. Every time you sort of think that they found that rhythm and that they're going to be the championship team that we know they are capable of being, they have a letdown. And so I heard Charles Barkley on the air last night saying, tomorrow night's going to be a cakewalk. I'll believe it when I see it. I think with this team, you have to sit and you have to watch and just see what happens.
ESPN senior writer Howard Bryant, as always, thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.